Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
This relationship, it defies all the laws of nature.
I'm glad to see you have such faith in your relationship.
This is the most honest, caring relationship I've ever been in.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, good friends are what make life more meaningful. I mean, they can pick you up when you're feeling down, and they can also help you to stay grounded when you need a little bit of an attitude adjustment at times. Healthy relationships are the key to a happy life, but that involves more than just having and keeping a couple of really close best friends. During the next half hour, Dr. Cheryl Meyer and I will be talking about the role that you play in your most important relationships and how maintaining a healthy connection with the Lord also keeps your best friendships growing stronger. Deepening your relationships with others, yourself, and God will be our theme today on Homeward. It's going to be a great program, so keep it right here.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Christmas time is a time when a lot of family relationships are put to the test. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you have to spend some time with some people that maybe you can avoid the rest of the time of the year. And Christmas rears its ugly head in those relationships. And how do you deal with those? Well, how do you build some bonds that maybe rebuild some bonds that have been kind of fractured and tattered a little bit? Well, Dr. Cheryl Meyer is with us during the next half hour. We're going to talk about deepening your relationship with others, yourself, and starting with deepening your relationship with God. I want to thank you for your faithful financial support of Homeward throughout the course of the year. If you can give a year-end gift today to support our ministry, we encourage you to do so at homeward.com. Now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about deepening relationships with others, yourself, and with God. Cheryl Meyer is with us today. She's written a wonderful book. It's called Unbreakable Bonds: Practicing the Art of Loving and Being Loved. She wrote it with her father, really famous father, Christian psychiatrist Paul Meyer. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's our first time to meet, and yet you're the clinical director of the Meyer Clinic in Laguna Hills, California, which is around the corner from where I live.
5 miles from you guys.
Yes, yeah. So it's great to have you with us. You live, of course, here in Southern California, and we're going to talk about deepening relationships. I said before the program to you, you're going to be our relationship expert.
That's just fine.
Are some people better suited for meaningful relationships than others, do you think?
I don't think so. I think if you think about the fact that we're all made in the image of God, and God from all eternity has had a relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they've had a relationship with each other. We're made in that image. We're meant to have relationships. God says, you know, love one another, and the greatest commandment is that.
Now for some of it, though, it's harder. I mean, I'm thinking
I have two friends.
One was raised in a Christian home that was really a functional Christian home. I mean, there are such things.
Yeah.
Fabulous home. And, you know, this person is just an amazing person, and, you know, they are imperfect, like any of us, and sinful, just like all of us, but, you know, have really don't have the baggage. Think of another person who is wonderful, Christian, but struggles with relationships, partly because from their past, you know, they grew up in a really tough home. Both are working on relationships, but what I'm hearing you saying is it's possible for them. It's going to be easier for the one guy, probably.
It is. I think of it like if your parents taught you how to tie your shoes, you tie your shoes. If they didn't, then it doesn't mean that you don't have the capability to learn it. It means you have learned that you don't deserve to know how to have relationships like that, or you don't deserve to develop those, and it takes longer to develop those.
Yeah. Now, and developing meaningful relationships, I read in your book, Unbreakable Bonds, that what you say is it's a conscious decision.
It is a conscious choice to love or to not be loved, or to love or to not love. But the conscious decision that I encourage people to look at in the book and just in life with my clients that I see every day is looking at, what are the relationship skills I learned from my parents, and how do I relate inside myself? Mm. If my parents were distant, or like you said, that second friend, his parents, let's say they were absent, or they were abusive, or they were neglectful, or they put him down all the time, or whatever combination of those is, we often respond within ourselves in those same ways.
Sure.
And so I challenge people to heal those and change those, and then we are a safe person. We can find safe relationships, and it works.
Right, but they really need some healing because those tapes are not easy to just erase if you were raised in a home where there was abuse or neglect or whatever.
Well, I've always heard this, it's as hard as we are resistant. Oftentimes when we were abused, we learned to be really loyal to the people that abused us, and we're really loyal to those old tapes, and we have a hard time letting them go. But we can let them go, and it is, like you said, it's a conscious choice, and it's important. If we don't make a conscious choice, then we keep going with what is familiar, because the root word of familiar is family. So what my family taught me, I just go with that. And unless we challenge that and go, wait a second, you know, I don't have to blame my parents for all my pain. I don't have to be beating them up or anything in my mind. It's important to look at, did they love me as wholly and as perfectly as God loves me? Well, then I am called to that kind of love.
That's very good. When somebody comes into your office for counseling and they say, you know what, I've come from a pretty tough background, but I have a conscious decision to want to be whole and want to deepen my relationship. But right now, my relationship with my spouse isn't as intimate as I wish it was, not just in terms of physical, but in terms of, you know, the relational side. I want to connect with my kids. I'm trying. It doesn't seem to go as well. You know, what kind of practical advice do you give them?
Well, I say two things. One, I say, like what Jesus said, he says, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Mm-hmm. When you see that you have a huge ability to change, everyone comes in and they're like, please, can you change my spouse? Can you make them different?
Right.
When they see what they can do to change themselves, then they can address the lack of intimacy in their marriage or wherever. But, and the other saying that goes with that is Gandhi said, you must be the change you wish to see in this world. Mm. And so if I have a distant relationship with my husband or my whoever, anyone out here with their spouse, I chose someone that was that far away from me. I was not comfortable with closer than that. And so I had a problem with intimacy. I wouldn't have chosen someone so far away from me and been pursuing them, because I know I'm more of the pursuer, the jump right in type. What I encourage anyone that comes in that says, I'm having a problem with my spouse, it's like, well, let's look at how to really call to the forefront what's going on in your own life and what your own fears of intimacy are, because you chose this person for a reason. And you know what? If your spouse came in here right now and got all healthy and was able to be intimate, I can guarantee you that you'd be running the other way.
But we're not really thinking that.
No, I know we're not thinking that at all. We're not thinking that.
But what happens is we just tend to do that.
Because it's familiar.
Isn't that
like
fascinating?
Our
familiar family. That's fascinating. In your book at the beginning, you talk about creating a path to love. Mm-hmm. How do you create a path to love? What do you do?
Well, I mean, it involves a lot of things. I think people coming actually into therapy is one thing, because they're willing to look at what is blocking that path. They know it's not working. It's like if we know our car is not working, we go into the mechanic or we just hope that the problem goes away. But what I say in the book is I encourage people to commit to fearlessly explore what truths they find underneath them and to invite their imagination. It's like ask for wisdom from God and he will give it to you. I know we ask, but ask and really seek out, wait a second, what is logic telling me? I can say, I love myself. I think great things about myself. Jesus loves me. But it's really interesting to look at, well, how is that showing up in your life? How are you not loving yourself by being a doormat or by going with the familiar, just going with what I learned? That's how much worth I'm meant to have. People stay with, again, the familiar, and they don't challenge that. So one thing I really encourage is people to challenge what they have learned. Do they treat themselves like they would treat their own child?
Well, let's talk about that. You talk in your book about loving ourselves. Mm-hmm. How do you define that kind of love? Because that can either be arrogant or that can be very healthy. Help me understand that.
Okay. Someone, I know this gets complicated with a lot of people, but someone that doesn't like themselves and doesn't love themselves becomes arrogant. They're empty. And so it's like what the Bible calls puffed up. I'm all proud and puffed up. If I love myself, it's just like today. I ate meals today so that I can function properly. If God is love, then we're meant to have that in us. It's like our car putting gas and oil in it. It's not selfish to put gas and oil in our car. They function the best. And so loving ourselves is making a conscious choice to love as we ought to love. And our love is nothing in comparison to the love that Christ showed us by dying for us. And so that's our example of how much love, way more than we can even imagine.
Now, there's a sentence in your book, and I love this sentence. Uh-huh. It says, what if I get to know myself and I find a person I don't like?
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of that. Yeah. Well, it's like if I was neglected, let's say, by my parent, I just assume, well, there was something wrong with that person, that my parents didn't approach that person. Is there something really ugly or wrong or doesn't measure up? And so what if I don't like that person? Well, you know what? You are now the parent and the steward of yourself. It doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't say, follow me if you like it or whatever. You know, it's like you can choose to follow him. But he says, love one another. Love your enemies. Actually loving your enemies will help you to love this enemy. Pray for your enemies. Yeah. This enemy inside that we don't like. But learning how to develop a loving relationship and say, I'm going to love you. And you'll learn to like yourself anyway.
Yeah, that's fascinating commentary there from Dr. Cheryl Meyer. And as you can tell from the ambiance, this is one of our best of recordings. It was recorded in Nashville at the American Association of Christian Counselors Convention a few years ago. Dr. Jim Burns talking with Dr. Cheryl Meyer about deepening your relationship with others, yourself, and God. Cheryl's the author of the book Unbreakable Bonds, and we have that up on our online resource center today at homeward.com. We encourage you to visit our website if you haven't been there recently, and browse a while. Take a look at the resources available to you. And now, here's the conclusion of today's Homeward broadcast. Once again, here's Jim.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Dr. Cheryl Meyer. We're talking about deepening relationships with others, yourself, and with God. Life is about relationships, many people say. And today we're going to kind of keep working on how we can develop more meaningful relationships, period. Now, Cheryl, with many parents, they've really never had the kind of instruction that you've been talking about when they were children. And now they're actually trying to help their own kids through these issues of, say, involving self-image or whatever it may be. What kind of advice do you give to these parents who are saying, I have a deficit, and now I'm trying to build better relationships for my kids and teach them how to do it?
Whenever anyone says how, it stops the process. How is asking for, please, can my parents come and equip me? And so even as a parent, if we're being parents and we're like, oh, I don't know how to do this, we're still waiting for our parents to equip us with how. And the thing is if our parents didn't know, they felt just as disabled as we do. But it's important still that you learn to equip yourself. I see a lot of parents that will give a lot of love to their kids, but they won't give that same type of love to themselves. And so then they get drained and their kids get less love later on, you know, through the process because they're just burnt out. But if they loved themselves as generously as they loved their kids or even their dog sometimes, they wouldn't let a dog get kicked or yelled at, but they'll let themselves. And so it's learning how to go, wait a second, I can stop with how, and it stops the process. Mm-hmm. It's don't let the how stop the process. Right. If our parents didn't teach us, then we think we're not worth knowing or worth equipping. And so we're like, oh, I got to wait here to learn how. And it's important to just go, no, I'm meant to learn how. Whatever I didn't know how, God made me, and he knows how, and he is willing to give me this. So how would someone on a desert island learn how to do this? Now let's do this.
Great, great input. In your book, and I thought this was fascinating because you wrote the book with your father, Dr. Paul Meyer, who's a very well-known Christian psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And yet in the book, you said that you learned a valuable lesson about unconditional love from your own father growing up. Why don't you tell us that story?
It's funny because the people that wrote the foreword, I think she read something different in the book from her own experience or something than what I wrote. Because in the foreword, it says, Dr. Meyer expressed such great love for her dad's unconditional love and great appreciation. But no, in the book, I said it clear. And my dad knows this. I mean, we talked about it. He saw it in the book. Is he would say, I love you unconditionally. And then he'd say, and God loves you unconditionally. But I saw all the conditions that were there, and it wasn't unconditionally. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I better hurry up and do all these things at the church or do all these things and overachieve because God is going to cut me off. Because what I experienced, even though my dad's intentions was to love me unconditionally, what I experienced was conditional. And he can see that more now, and that's his life. But I can see that, so that's the good thing, because it's my life to go, wait a second, God has a bigger love than that. He's not all words, he's actions. And he showed that on the cross.
In your mind, he probably was doing the best he could, and he thought he was showing unconditional love. But yeah. What you're saying is that your experience was that you didn't feel it as much. If that is the experience with someone, then in terms of them trying to get through that, get past that, work through that, maybe they don't have a dad who's a famous psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a blank space. Maybe there is no dad. How do you help that person relate to a father image or a mother image, a parent image, where, you know, where it's just not a good situation and it's not going to get better because they're either, you know, distant, they're removed, they're not in the picture?
Whatever you experienced, that is what you know about relationships. And so you learn, if my dad is absent, I learn I don't deserve more than absence. And a lot of people will come into my office, and myself, I had to go through this myself, as I chose to, is will say they did the best they could, or this is all they could have done, or whatever. We go on, actually, and I learned this from C.S. Lewis, not in graduate school. He said we often go to places of making excuses. We'd rather say it's water under the bridge, time will heal that, they didn't mean to, they did the best they could, instead of going, wait a second. No matter if they did the best they could or not, is I am meant to be loved with the kind of love that God showed, if people had perfect love. And so it's taking away the excuses. When we take those away, no matter if my dad did 70% of the job or 20% of the job or was totally absent, it's to go, you know what, there's no excuse because I'm meant to be loved more than that. And how can I aim towards treating myself with the love, the 100% love that God has, and really let go of, because when we make an excuse and say, well, he did the best he could, it's saying, and I'm doing the best I can too. And so we end up going, well, I'm doing the best I can, when really we're not. We were just making an excuse. It's like, no, I'm not doing the best I can. I'm giving myself the same excuse to not offer myself more love.
But how do you become emotionally separated from your parents in some ways? I mean, I realize we can never do that, but in some ways, if it was negative, how do we separate ourselves from the tapes or from the experiences and actually move on to healing?
It always comes back to the cross, and not just trying to superimpose Jesus into this. It's just, I see Christ going, you know what? It's not okay what they did. I want you to be loved more. I will hold them accountable. You don't have to stay angry at them. I said this the other day to a client. It's like if we were the Israelites in Egypt and we want to sit around and like try to talk the Egyptians that we deserve more love than that, or we want to throw rocks at them. It's like God saying, I want to take you to the promised land. Be loved already. Let go of this. You don't have to stay in this place. Know that you are loved. I will hold your parents accountable and I'm able to forgive them. That's why you don't have to sit angry and blaming them. It's like, let me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.
That's a great comment, you know,
you
and yet,
let go then.
Yeah, exactly, and yet, there's, you know, there's a risk factor, it seems like, and oftentimes, when people are moving toward genuine intimacy, which we all want, mm-hmm. there's kind of a fear factor that it's just not going to happen.
There's a fear, and I always say this in my office, I'm like, oh no, 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 please, not the love, because we're just like, afraid of love. No, not the love. Yeah. I can't have that. We're afraid, but it's actually we're going to a place that's more. The Israelites were afraid of leaving Egypt. They wanted to go back and be slaves. Let's go back, be slaves. We know we get scraps here. Even though they were killing our sons because they didn't want us to populate, and we were their slaves, and we were in bondage, and we didn't get to practice our religious freedom too, they wanted to stay there because they were scared of the land of milk and honey. You know, oh, God's not going to walk us there. We can't leave the familiar because our parents haven't set that course in front of us.
Yeah. Well, if people are afraid of intimacy and they're afraid of taking that move, what would you say would be a good first step to move toward developing a more intimate connection with others?
The first step always, I'm always like, it's free. You know, I mean, you can go to therapy and really learn how to develop this more if you want. But it's free to just go and look at what is my relationship inside and why have I been willing to treat myself this way and why do I invite other people to treat me this way and really looking at how disconnected am I. It shows up in different hidden ways how disconnected we are, but if you look at your relationship with other people as they are an extension of, I mean, they're their own person, but if my husband's beating me, I'm choosing as an adult to hit myself via my husband, through my husband. And so it's looking at, why am I choosing to treat myself this way? And if I'm going to be destructive to myself, how would I form an intimate relationship in that? I'm destroying this person. So the fear is letting go of the old. I tell people to envision a cage, right? And there's this big piece of fruit in the cage, and you stick your hand in this cage. There's a monkey, they say, in this example, that sticks its hand in the cage, grabs hold of the fruit, cannot get out of the cage unless it lets go of the fruit. If I let go of the fruit, I can go find all the banana trees in the jungle. But if I let go, my hand is empty. when I let go of the fruit, my hand is empty for a time. And if I've experienced a lot of loss, I'm afraid of that initial loss. But it sets me free to go find all the stuff that God wants to provide me with, all the love in the world. And so it is like dying to ourselves and facing this one moment where my hand is empty. Because we're sitting here waiting for someone to open this cage and give us the love that we're meant to have. But when we keep holding on to this cage, we stay stuck. And we have the food, the emotional food in our hands. Like, if this guy would just call me, you know, we have that. I have the phone in waiting. But if we let go, then we're free. And we're instead, you know, we're waiting for them to go, you're worth loving. And it's like, let it go and you can have the love. Mm.
You will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Exactly.
Somebody
that.
Very famous said that.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Jesus.
Yeah.
Listen, let me say thank you so much. Great input.
It's so much my pleasure. And I wish all of you guys out listening so much love. Really, get it for yourself because you can have it.
And it's kind of a counterintuitive thought, isn't it, to think about going out and getting that kind of love. But Dr. Cheryl Meyer makes some interesting points about the nature of the love relationship that we have with God and how that influences the way we view ourselves and the way we view others. And good conversation today. If you missed any part of it, we're always streaming this audio at homeward.com. We also podcast this program as well. And you can sign up for our free daily podcast through the radio broadcast section of homeward.com. Jim, good title today. Good discussion. Dr. Cheryl Meyer, deepening your relationships with others, yourself, and God.
I think it's Gary Smalley who said, it's all about relationships, nothing more. And in reality, he's right. It's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with others. In fact, one of the great thinkers of our day when it comes to death and dying is a woman named Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She's recently passed herself. But she said, there are two things that happen when people are going to die. Even in a family, if they've been estranged, at the end of their life, they want a right relationship with God. They want a right relationship with others. And truthfully, we've got to be intentional about it, and it takes work. It doesn't just happen. And I see the people who have the healthiest relationships around me are people who work at it. They spend time in relationships. And when they are lonely or hurting, that's when they're most vulnerable to, I think, unhealthy relationships. Mm. And a lot of people I know who are not intentional about it don't do it right. I have the privilege to be in a relationship with my good friend John Wallace. And John and I spend a lot of time together. Just last week, we went to a place to eat, and then we walked around a mall, if you can believe it. And it's where we talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse. What kind of sin bent do we have? I mean, we really open up our lives to it. Well, you know what? I'm more grounded today, and I think I'm a better husband to Kathy and a better father to the girls because of my relationship with John. But it takes work. And yet, every time I am in his presence and intentional about it and working on it, I just say, what a privilege it is to have a friend who, in many ways, for me, is closer than a brother. And I am inspired by the people who really do build into their life margin enough to have healthy relationships.
Boy, margin is so important. And you think about this concept we've been discussing today here on the Homeward Broadcast, deepening your relationship with others, yourself, and with God, and how often we spend times just kind of beating ourselves up over things that we can't control. And yet we could probably control them a lot better if we weren't so busy, if we weren't so overcommitted and underconnected. That's great wisdom. And Jim, I know that one of the hallmarks of the Homeward Broadcast, we think about it especially this time of year, is authenticity. And take the final moments of our time together and talk about that.
The fact is that that's what we want to do at Homeward. We want to be able to bring authentic, good parenting marriage advice to people all over the world. And sometimes people don't realize that this broadcast is on a local station, but at the same time, we broadcast all over the United States and actually around the world through the podcast. And it takes finances to do that. And here at the end of the year, we are asking our listeners. We don't make a lot of asks like a lot of organizations, but at the end of the year, we always say, if you would consider, you know, giving small or large gift to Homeward, we're trying to raise $300,000. And we're doing this because we think that marriages and parenting, that in some ways we're making some progress, and in other ways, in our culture, we're not making progress. We need organizations like Homeward to come alongside. So Homeward does lots of things, Roger. Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the United States. Homeward does have material in 27 different languages. Homeward has 52,000 podcast listeners, as well as the 800 different broadcasts that go out each day, both with the one-minute feature and the 30-minute, as well as 1 hour. So we're doing a lot of great stuff, putting out great resources, a lot of new resources coming out. That takes money. So with no apologies, I invite our listeners to consider giving a year-end gift to Homeward. As the president, I believe that we are very good stewards of this money. And I believe that we can use it to glorify God and actually spread great news to the kingdom. We have a phrase that says, when you reach the family, you reach the world. And we think that's one of the greatest ways to reach the world is through helping families succeed.
Absolutely. Well, this ministry is going on 10 years of actually broadcasting this program Monday through Friday on radio and also online and also our weekend programs as well. And we do so exclusively on the faithful financial support of our listeners. So if you can give a gift here at the end of the year, remember our website is absolutely secure at homeward.com. Your gift of $50, $100, $500 or more makes all the difference, especially right now. Homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.